yesterday we studied a little bit of Ecclesiastes, and I want to go more deeper into one scripture that's not just there, but it's throughout the scripture, it's throughout the Bible. So it's Ecclesiastes chapter 2. No, maybe chapter 3. Why don't I look this up before I get here? Yeah, it's chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 9. What profit hath he that worketh, and that wherein he laboreth? Excuse me. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world. That's what we talked about a little bit. We started to Olam. In their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now, that's probably a scripture that isn't studied very often. He put eternity in their heart, is really the best translation, so that no man can find out what God, that God maketh from the beginning to the end. The work that God maketh, or what God is doing from the beginning to the end. Now that's including having all the Bible in front of you, the Old and New Testament, having 5-6 PhDs. He's put eternity in, or the Olam in their heart, that no man can find out what God doeth from the beginning to the end. Now, I don't think we've ever studied that scripture. I've talked about that you can't find out what the work of God is by the use of your mind. And that's really what it is implying here. No man can find out the work that God doeth from the beginning to the end. Anybody see it? Anybody have any other comments?
I don't understand why. I don't understand why God says he put eternity in their hearts, how that makes it impossible to. I mean, I understand that I can't understand the work of God from beginning to end. I just don't understand the phrase about eternity, how that applies.
It's Olam.
It also means vanishing point.
Yeah.
I understand that.
It means vanishing point, the point with no end. The reason is Adam can't enter the kingdom of God.
I understand that too.
What is it that we're bringing up then?
The phrase, put eternity in their heart. What does putting eternity in their heart come down to? What does that mean that makes the, it's like that's the conditional phrase of the rest of the sentence. He said eternity in their heart so that, there was a purpose for putting eternity in their heart. I'm trying to understand that portion.
Well, let's see if we can make you understand it.
There's no time.
That's part of it. All right, let's go to see if I looked this stuff up before we started, I'd be better off. Yeah, let's go to chapter 8. Verse 6. Or we have to look at 5 to understand 6. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is a time and a judgment, and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver these that are given it. I have seen and appointed and applied my heart unto every work that is done under heaven, under the sun, excuse me. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city when they had so done. This also was vanity, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, because the heart of some men is fully set in them to do evil. Well, we could go on and on, but it's showing the point of this is that for some reason there is no understanding that man cannot achieve of what God is doing, of really what he's really doing. And let's look smart. Let's go to Romans 11.
Exactly what we're talking about. Toward the end of 11?
Yeah, I know. Just a minute. All right. Did you say Romans 11?
Yeah, Romans 11.
Verse 30.
For sure, it starts in 33, but probably a little bit before that.
Well, let's look at starting verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, they shall come of him that deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For For this is my covenant, covenant with them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the salvation or the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are given are without repentance. For as you in times past have not believed God, you have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so, these also not believers believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, and that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So what are we doing? Studying scripture to try to see this, to try to find out what his ways are. What's missing? Any? What's missing is the death, your death and the abandonment of the evil one before you can understand and see the scriptures. Now hopefully your integrity that you don't understand will lead you to repentance that you can't understand. It's not possible for your mind to apprehend this. And that's what happens. That's what happened in all of the history of Christianity. You know, at the beginning there was the first wave, I call it, that was the revelation of Christ in the flesh. Then the second wave in history about this mystery is Luther started it. It didn't last very long. And now I believe it's coming to us, not us alone, but it's coming to the man, to people all over the world now, because it's the third wave of God's mystery, of God's people that are coming to integrity and to honesty and seeing. So what? Let's. We got to go some more. There's a bunch of this. But I should have written them down.
You know, you just read that thing in Romans. And it's very much like what we see now, where people who claim to be Christians, you know, are so wrapped up in the world that they're not. And so, kind of like, I mean, Paul just got finished saying that Israel didn't believe so that Gentiles would be grafted in. Now we've got Christians who say they're Christians who really don't believe so that people can maybe continue to be grafted in.
Yeah, well, let's see if there's any more of what the scriptures say as soon as I can find it. Oh.
How about Matthew 13:11?
Well, let's go. Yeah, go there and just read it. What does it say? Well, you have your Antichrist machine. You
can. Oh, that's over here. This is my Bible.
Oh.
When Jesus was talking to his disciples, and the disciples came and said, "Why speakest thou in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath."
Amen.
So that.
That's good. Let's go to Job 5. I still can't ever find Job either.
Before Psalms. Before Psalms.
Somebody read
Job 5.
Job 5, around verse, a little bit before and after verse 9.
Okay. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth, and sendeth waters upon the field, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. Is that
enough? Yeah, that's enough. I think he just wanted to read.
He asked him to read.
All right, let's go to did we do Romans 11?
Yeah, we did Romans 11.
All right. Well, let's go back to the chapter 3, the one that started this, and see if we can come down, make it, if I can make it. Chapter 11, or chapter 3, starting in verse. I like this, the poetry of chapter 3. Somebody read it, Gary.
In 3:11.
No, start at 3:1.
Oh, Ecclesiastes. Yeah. To everything there's a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end.
Okay. No man can find out what God worketh from the beginning to the end. And as I've told you, we've talked since I began preaching, or teaching, whatever it is I do, that your mind cannot see, is it possible for it to come to the knowledge of God? Because it is the mortal enemy. And yet, that's what people all use to try to find out the mystery. Because he can't. It's the operative word is this word, the world in their heart, the world there is olam. And olam is a Hebrew word. It's one of the great. I love that word because it's applied to so. It causes you to see with clarity that you can't understand with your mind, and that your mind is your evil. He has put a olam in their hearts, that no man can find out the work that God doeth from the beginning to the end. Then what are we about? Hopefully what we're about is repentance, so that you know to use your mind for nothing, because I promise you all your mind will do is try to justify what you think you believe. That's the best it can do. Now this is an insult to the brightest people in the universe. Well, it doesn't matter whether they're bright or not, but it's the point of it is it's an insult to the human race. It's an insult. That's why it says Jesus Christ was the last Adam. You know what I want to do? I want, if you would, is ponder on this. Argue with it, whatever you want. But this is like being hit in the face with a baseball bat. What am I doing then? What am I coming to Bible study for? What am I preaching about? What, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's because you have to not be there in order for that revealing. Because it's the mystery of God is only revealed in Jesus Christ. So it isn't about him, it is him. And he cannot coexist with you. And the reason he can't coexist with you is God made us that way. We can't exist with him because we have to see our death as permanent. If you're baptized, you're buried. If you're buried, you're dead. But the evil ones, that it talks about in Revelation, he constantly raises himself from the dead. And so the warfare is always that. It's not about a particular scripture. It's about the point, in fact, that God will not let your mind to ever understand the mystery of God, to ever know what will happen. And you've heard me talk about this many times. The reason is your mind cannot conceive of or even see in some timelessness. It's beyond the mind and or the human to experience timelessness. You can get close and all kinds of recent things that have been done, but you can never be. So what I want, if you need it, just copy. I'll write down the scriptures and send them to you, because I didn't write them down before, but it's obvious what I've said. I'm not trying to justify what I've said over the years, but it's because what I've said is based on that I could never understand it. My mind is worthless in understanding the mysteries of God. And that's why we must understand what it means. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ was that he can never do anything of himself. He can, in other words, he can't think himself. Because he's opened. That's what he revealed, the position, the emptiness. So that he can only do what he sees the Father do. He can do nothing out or from himself. Now you can run around and say, well, God showed me. No, he didn't. Eventually, it's true. It's only God can show you, but it's when you accept your death. Not just accept it, see it and live it. And that's why faith is the only way, the justification of God for you. It's faith alone. And it's not, well, I have faith because I believe in God, or I have faith because I believe in Christ. No, that's not faith. That's you're trying to get a cookie because you thought something up. Abandonment of self is abandonment of self. Abandonment means you no longer exist as that person that you were born. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things become new. Can you accept for a minute that what I've said this morning might be true? If you can, and then I ask you, prove it to yourself. Search the scriptures to see that these things be true. Don't try to search the scriptures that these things be false. You can do it if you want to, but it's a waste of time. I tried it. Every time I found a contradiction in the Bible, I've got you, God. No, every time I found a contradiction in the Bible, it was a revelation of something I could never even thought of. This is not about like going to a place and sitting in rows and repeating what the priest says, or it's not repeating what a Bible teacher says. It's the revelation of Christ himself, and you cannot be there. If you're there in the slightest, you put him back in that prison in the temple. Consider these things, muse on them, dwell on them, but either come, I mean, it's not both, it can't be both. That's what I'm trying to get to. It can't be studying the scriptures and then using my mind. Your mind will always cloud the mystery. Because man cannot, it's not revealed unto man the work that God doeth. And the reason is because of Olam. He's put eternity in their heart, that no man can find out the work that God doeth from the beginning to the end. Eternity is the place of no time. That's the one arena that man cannot occupy. He can't. You can't possibly use your mind to understand or see the position of no time. I tried every trick in the universe to try to use my mind. I liked my mind. My mind was my buddy until I found it was my mortal enemy. Any response?
I have a question about, you had a profound revelation that time with, what's his name in church? In what part of your being did the revelation take place? Except somewhere in your brain, mind, head, spirit, there's some place where God interacts with us, and we've had thousands of conversations about the mind that being the enemy of God.
Remember the pineal body? We've studied it many times. The pineal body was it's a cone-shaped little piece in the middle of your brain, and it's so worthless to the human race, or they think, that they call it one of the many vestigial organs. Vestigial means it was once had a purpose, but now doesn't. It's like eyelids or eyebrows or something. There are a jillion of them if you look in the scriptures, in the internet to see what has been called a vestigial. Well, one of them, the main one that was called a vestigial, was this pineal body. Remember when Jacob, let's go to where was Jacob in the end? Go to it was 30, Genesis 30 something or something like that. Jacob's fighting with the angel. He says something incredible. I hate those things. Anybody find it? Yeah, it's Jacob. It's Genesis 32. In verse 34. Starting verse 34. Everybody there? It's going there?
Genesis 32.
Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the break of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let you go, or let these go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall no more be, or shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men. And he had prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, then, and said unto me, I pray thee, the name, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Now that's what has to happen in you. You have seen, oh God. It's not an accident that Peniel is there. And it's not an accident that Peniel is the name of this vestigial organ, because Peniel means the face of God. Peniel. And you've seen God face to face. And there, because of that, that's the evidence of your death. That's the evidence that you were really buried and not just getting wet. It's the Peniel body it's enacted at your death. It's no more your mind. Consider these things. Does that answer your question possibly?
No, closer. It's like you can't, this is saying you cannot see God and live. So unless you're going to accept death, you're just going to be religious and play around with it.
Not accept it. You die. It's not a matter if you accept it or not.
Now that's semantics. Huh? That's a little bit semantical.
I promise you it's not semantical. You try everything in the universe to keep yourself alive, or I did.
Yeah.
Maybe everybody doesn't do that, but I don't know many that I know of that don't do that. The one who I became a believer under Norman Grubb, he talks about that all the time. He tried everything in the universe to try to prove that the guy that he heard the preach was wrong. And I don't think there's any way, if you have the integrity of the mind, you have to rid this of any giving it any importance, because as long as you're using it, you have to come to the end of using it to reach Him. Because otherwise, flesh and blood would share the kingdom, and it can't. And this is the basis of everything I've taught for 40 years, or more than 40 years now. God, I'm getting old. I'm not getting old anymore. I'm older than dirt. So please, I beg of you, don't just dismiss this as another interpretation of the Scripture. Search the Scriptures to see whether these things be true. If you like, I'll have Pete send out a list of the Scriptures that are germane to this. And I beg of you, don't either dismiss it or write it off or, oh yeah, that must be true because it's blah, blah, blah. Search the Scriptures so that that is made meat in you. No more milk, but meat. I may be a while before I get to that because, well, we don't, it's today's Friday. Ha! You have till Monday to read it.
Yeah, 2 days.
So I may not, I'm hurting kind of bad, so I'm not going to try to look them up. But I'll do it in the next few hours and give up to Pete. Okay?
We have a meeting this morning here, so if you can make it, fine. If not, I'll let you know what the meeting's. I don't really know what it's about.
May 15, we're going to try and meet.
What?
You want to try and meet? Do you feel up to it?
No. Is it something I should know about?
No, just general business.
All right.
What we can do with Tom.
I wish I could, but if I can't feel enough to teach, I'm not going to feel good enough to go to a movie or whatever.
We've got a side.